Jack, how you doing?
Jason and Jason, I hear you talking about beer. I don't know if you know my quote, but people say to me, hey, Jack, would you like another beer? And I always say, the last time I said no to that question, I didn't understand the question. So there's no such thing as a bad beer. So enjoy and cheers on a Friday afternoon. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right?
It's very much 5 o'clock somewhere for sure, Jack. It was midnight last night for the L.A. Clippers. OKC takes them out. OKC, you know, a miraculous comeback in Game 5, down 7 points in the final 50 seconds. They come back and win that game. Obviously, Doc Rivers was pretty upset about the call. And then last night, the Chris Paul foul. What did you think of that?
You know, debatable, obviously. And, you know, one of those situations where you look at it and you go, if you played it over 10 times, I'm sure if you're in L.A., you're saying it's in your favor. And on the other hand, if you played in Oklahoma City, they're saying no way. So I think either way, I think when it comes down to it, I think Chris Paul had a lot to do in the previous game of not getting it done for them. And now when you're looking for something good to happen, I don't think they made enough plays. And when it's all said and done, I think you look at the team that deserved to win, I think, in that series. I think it's definitely Oklahoma City.
Jack, last night Kevin Durant had 39 points and 16 rebounds. Was that the first time you saw him be comfortable with his game look smooth?
You know, I thought that Chris Paul did a pretty good job in the series when they put him on him a little bit and got under him. I still think there's one part of Durant's game that he's got to get a little bit better at, and that is when they put a smaller guy on him, consistently take him in the post. I think we saw that with LeBron James a few years ago. Now LeBron has become a lot more comfortable with his back to the basket. And I think that's, you know, the area of his game that will have to continue to improve. But he's a wonderful player. And again, you know, in a closing game for them, you know, he was big time, particularly on the road. Anytime you get 39 on the road, yeah, you're doing something. And I think sometimes none of us really appreciate how hard it is to score. I mean, everybody says, oh, you're talented. Well, yeah, but people are putting together all sorts of exotic defenses to stop you. And, you know, you're a marked man. And to get 39, particularly on the road, you got to be really good, really special. And I think when you look at Durant this season in particular as the MVP, and just in general throughout his career, he just keeps getting better and better. And I think he lives for the moment. I'm fascinated by how he and a guy like Russell Westbrook will handle their offense against San Antonio. More importantly, what Greg Popovich will do defensively to try to counter that with the Spurs.
Jack Armstrong joins us. NBA Final Four is set, Indiana, Miami, and then, of course, you got the Spurs and the Thunder. In the West, Jack, it's the Spurs. They got the best coach in the game in Popovich. You know, the kind of the ageless wonder in Tim Duncan and Ginobili and Parker, and they always just seem to find a way to get there. If OKC is going to knock them off, what has to happen? What do you see as the key matchup in this series?
Well, first of all, a lot depends on, you know, they're saying Tony Parker's hamstring's not all that bad. And let's hope that's the case. Because if it is, I think Oklahoma City really, you know, can make a difference in this series. So I think if Park is healthy, then number one, you got to control him because he's the guy. I mean, he's the guy that makes it all happen. His ability to get to the rim, break the defense down, he's a special player. I think number two, you got to defend the three. This is a club that really shoots the ball well from the perimeter. They got a lot of different guys that can spread you out. And you got to move quickly. You got to help recover, rotate, close out on shooters. And number three, I think you got to win those matchups, the Westbrook, Durant matchups. And yet you got to move the ball well enough. You can't let them load up and gang up on these guys. And I think sometimes Durant and Westbrook, there's a tendency that they go ISO and they become, as a team, very easy to guard. So I think those would be the three keys I look at if I'm Scott Brooks in Oklahoma City.
What about on the other side, the Eastern Conference? Can the Pacers continue to be inconsistent and have success against the Miami Heat?
I think you guys will agree with me. I don't think Miami's as good this year as they've been the last few years. But with that being said, I still think based upon the eye test, even though Indiana's the one seed and Miami's the two seed, I think Miami's the better team. I don't think Miami minds being the lower seed and, you know, being the hunted. and going into an opposing building in the first two games and have everybody all over their case. I think they kind of need that at this stage. They need to continue to have big challenges. This is a big challenge for them because in spite of the fact that Indiana, if you watch them, offensively, they ain't pretty to watch. But they're guarding better, and they're playing tougher. And I really was impressed last night how they silenced the crowd in Washington after the Wizards took the lead in the fourth quarter. And, you know, so they're starting to play a little bit better. But I think based upon the eye test, based upon the talent level, I like Miami in the series. Miami's got the best player in the world, even though Durant's the MVP this year. You know, LeBron is just an incredible player. They got incredible three-point shooting. They share the ball, and they defend well in big spots. On the other hand, Indiana, you know, their second unit's been a little bit inconsistent. I think if they play through a guy like Paul George and David West enough, I think they can stay close.
If you're the Pacers, what would be your game plan against LeBron?
Good luck. You know, man, you know, you play him single coverage and you try to really defend the threes, he destroys you in the post. If you play him and you double a lot, then you really got to scramble back and get to shooters because they shoot it so well and they move the ball so well. So I think you got to do a little bit of both. I think you got to just try to keep him off his balance as much as you can. Make him take tough shots with a hand in the face. Paul George has the size to guard him. You know, the issue, though, is, you know, what does it do to George's offense? And you don't want him to get in foul trouble. So I think you just got to change your looks, keep him off balance. And I think you got to try to punish them inside. And Hibbert's got to play big. West has got to play big. Guys like that, you know, they have to, you know, their bigs have to be really tough. You know, they brought in Andrew Bynum to help him in this series, or at least to keep him away from Miami, and now he's been waived. I don't know if they have enough to do it, but I think you definitely got to try to beat him up in the last 10 feet of the court, that's for sure.
Jack, I always enjoy hearing your insight into NBA, and I'm a bit under a loss when it comes to the hiring of coaches. You know, I look at Steve Kerr, no coaching experience, now going to Golden State. One of the leading contenders, allegedly, to go to the Knicks is Derek Fisher, who is currently playing for OKC, no head coaching experience. How is it possible that players that haven't coached before just step into head coaching roles like we've seen Jason Kidd do and Steve Kerr?
Good question, and you're talking to a former coach. I think, unfortunately, I look at it, if I owned the team, I'd say to myself, you know, if I got a $60, $70 million investment, I want a guy who's really talented in that role, who's paid his dues and knows all the ins and outs and can do it in every different way, player relations, motivation, tactics, teaching, player development in terms of improvement, dealing with the media, you know, all those types of things. That's why I really like what Detroit did. I mean, Stan Van Gundy and I coached together in college. I think they made the right move bringing him in as both the president and coach, and he'll bring a GM in, and everybody will be on the same page. He's proven himself in two different situations in Miami and Orlando. He's been a college head coach at the Division III, II, and I level at the NCAA level. I mean, in my opinion, he's got the pedigree. On the other hand, you look at Steve Kerr, I think Phil Jackson looks at it and tried to hire him in New York. If you remember Phil Jackson when he was hired by the Bulls, coached in a CBA just a little bit, mm-hmm. was an assistant a small amount of time. But what Phil did was very smart. Phil hired, you know, Johnny Bock and Tex Winter as his assistants, very experienced guys. You look at Pat Riley, he went from being a player with the Lakers, then he was the radio analyst, and then he replaced Paul Westhead as the head coach, and he was Westhead's assistant for a few months. But he brought in Bill Burke as his assistant. So I guess my advice to Steve Kerr is, and Mark Jackson, I think, really fought it, and I think that's why he's out of work. But, you know, you can't bring all your cronies in as a head coach. I think you got to have people that maybe are smarter than you or have different skill set than you. So I'm not opposed to a Derek Fisher or Steve Kerr being a head coach. What I say is this: bring in some gray-haired guys that maybe have had their run as head coaches, that have no desire to be head coaches anymore, that can kind of cover your flank and make sure that, you know, they provide you the assistance that you need, and yet they're not a threat to you. And I think that would be the way I would go if I'm Steve Kerr. And if Derek Fisher ends up becoming a head coach, I would give that same advice to him.
Jack, always great to talk to you. Who's going to be in the NBA final?
I like Miami. I'm rooting like crazy with my heart for San Antonio in seven. My brain's telling me OKC in seven, but I hope I'm wrong. But I think it's going to be Miami, and I don't know who to pick yet in the West, but it should be fun. I'm hoping it's San Antonio.
Jack, always great to talk to you. We'll be talking about the NBA draft as well the next time. Appreciate your time.
Guys, have a great weekend. Enjoy those beers.